This week on the Pro Wrestling Podcast, Uncle Dax Harwood opens up about his whole entire life with some shocking statements about the Heartbreak Kid. Mickey James speaks on her groundbreaking Royal Rumble appearance. Could Cody Rhodes be the gateway drug from AEW to the WWE? And fuck Jeff Jarrett. I'm your host, Seth Grimes, and this is the Pro Wrestling Podcast. What the fuck is up, everybody? Welcome, one, welcome all, to the Pro Wrestling Podcast. That's redundant. I say it twice just for fun because I like it that way. Because we are talking about pro wrestling podcasts on the podcast, you see. It's very simple. Welcome, everybody that's new. I just started putting out some clips out onto TikTok. I started putting out clips onto Rumble. I'm on Rumble now as well. So if you found me in either one of those places or on YouTube, you came across me or just stumbling through your podcast app and you're like, let's see what kind of new wrestling podcasts I can find. Cause I do that. People do that. Then welcome. Welcome to my show. Your show, our show, it's our show. We run this show together. I do all the work, and you guys do all the listening, and it's fun like that, and that's how we like it here. Lots of news going on out in the world. Bombs dropping all over the world. Not all over the world, but in some parts of the world, there's bombs dropping. But Dax Harwood... You like that transition? Dax Harwood dropped a bomb this week on the Oral Sessions podcast with Renee Paquette. I'm sorry. That was a horrible, horrible transition. No tact at all. I apologize for that. Don't cancel me. Dax Harwood was on Renee Paquette's podcast this week, and man, what an interview. She had said that she set out to interview both Dax and Cash separately because they always do interviews together. And she thought maybe she could get deeper to the core of the person if she could interview them individually. And that she did, because this was one of the most revealing podcast interviews I've heard in a long, long time. Dax opened right up about everything from being overweight as a kid and getting picked on for that and joining football and then developing a eating disorder after that. Or I'm sorry, like a, he was a, what do they call that? The people that vomit on purpose, binging. I don't know. Binging is what you do on Netflix. I'm blanking on it right now. Fucking give me a break. But he used to do that, where you puke up your food after you eat it. Bulimia. Bulimic. There we go. All of the above are correct. You know what? It's been a long day. It's Friday as I record this. And, you know, it's been a long week at work. And I'm just trying to unwind, trying to relax with you guys, talk a little bit of wrestling. And so you guys are just going to have to get all the way off my back about this, okay? All the way off. Anyways, all of that was super revealing, including he talked about his wife having a miscarriage. All of that shit. This got so, so deep, so personal. I'm trying to be a little lighthearted about it because it was a really deep, almost dark podcast. But this clip in particular, like a lot of that was life stuff and that kind of thing. But this one involving wrestling goes back to when Dax was in WWE And if you remember that that segment where the Revival got their ass beat by DX on like the 25th anniversary show or whatever. Well, here's what happened behind the scenes backstage during all of this. And here's what Dax had to say about it. This will blow your mind. Or maybe not. Check it out.
And so as a kid, I chose Brett over Sean. And then NXT, Sean came on board and he was a teacher. And he was a big fan of me and Dan's. And we got injured. Dan broke his jaw. Kenta gave him to go to sleep, broke his jaw. Maybe 2 weeks later, I gave Sheamus a lifter and I tore my bicep. And I went through a real bad phase then because, you know, I was like, man, this is not going to work for us. I mean, this is a run of bad luck. We came back to TV, and then at Raw 25, we were booked to do the deal with Hunter and his friends where they just beat us up. And I was so upset. Because for a lot of guys, it's like, oh, it's a paycheck. Who cares? But not to me. There's a legacy I want to leave. But that happened. And I talked to Sean. And that was the first time we talked since the PC days. And I told him, like, I was like, man, this happened. Tore my bicep. I went through a really dark period. I thought I was going to quit. But thankfully, just like I've told you, I have the greatest wife in the world. And she has supported me. And she's brought me out of this funk. And like, she brought me out of a dark place and I'm here now and I'm super happy. He said, I was the same way. I was in this very dark spot. I met my wife. She's beautiful. She pulled me out of this dark spot too. And I was like, oh, that's so awesome. He said, look, you and your partner are way too talented to be doing what you're doing tonight. You're way too talented to stay at this point. Just keep your nose to the ground and keep grinding and you're going to get over it. Like, oh man, Sean, thank you so much. And so we had this bonding moment and then we got in front of his friends. X-Pac and Hunter and Billy and Road Dogg and Scott. And as soon as we got in front of his friends, he started making fun of me and making fun of my situation and what happened with my bicep. And I was like, man, I just poured my heart out to you. And as soon as we get in front of your friends, because we're going over what, you know, they're going to beat the shit out of us, you decide to take all that stuff and make fun of me about it. And I never, ever forgot it. And as soon as we were done with the business at Raw, one person said thank you to us, and it was Sean Waltman.
I was very surprised about this. First of all, before we go forward, can we just say what a gem Sean Waltman is? Can we just address that? I got a clip with Waltman a little bit later on here in the show. But just what a peach of a human being he really is. I have had the opportunity to meet Sean Waltman, and what a fucking guy. He's a sweetheart is what he is. But so... props to him for being the only guy to thank the Revival for letting them just beat the fuck out of them. But I was really surprised by this because honestly, I hadn't heard anything about Shawn Michaels being that way since he found God, quote unquote. You know, some people even doubt that. You know, Corny is pretty outspoken about that on his shows. And I've heard other people say it too, that it's just an act or it's a way to like... save face and forgive him, you know, be forgiven by everybody because he burned so many bridges and made so many enemies. And, you know, if he can just say, sorry, bro, religious now, can I get a mulligan? Maybe people will give him a break, right? But this sounded like old school Shawn Michaels. And people change, you know, like I truly believe in my heart of hearts that people can change. And I do believe in my heart of heart that religion is one of those things that can change people's perspective, the way that they are in life, right? But there's always going to be like a hint of that other guy deep down, right? Because it is you still. And yeah, you know, life's happened and things have evolved and changed and... now you're a better person and yada, yada, yada. I get that and I wholeheartedly believe it's possible, but you gotta think that there's like a piece of Shawn Michaels, the old prick, cocky asshole, fuck you, I'm better than you, I'm gonna bury you to everybody backstage, I'm gonna, all this shit, you know, and I think what it boils down to in this situation is Sean's that guy in the group who needs to feel validated. He needs to feel accepted by the others. He's not a leader in the sense that he's comfortable in his own skin and that he can just be okay with being him. And if you like him, you like him. If you don't, you don't. I feel like he needs to either, he needs to like puff out his chest and prove himself was kind of his problem back in the day. But I think this incident was just trying to win the approval of his buddies, you know, get a laugh out of his buddies for his own personal insecurities and at the expense of the Revival, FTR. And it makes me so sad because I really thought Sean was doing well. I think I had only heard one thing, and it might have been corny, where somebody was actually like criticizing him, saying that he was still kind of that same guy backstage. He just puts a mask on. I don't think that's the case. I think we've seen enough of Sean over the years and heard enough of Sean over the years since he's been back and everything that I don't think that's where he was coming from with this. But either way, it was a douchebag move. It was definitely the old Sean. It was completely unnecessary. He should feel bad. He should absolutely apologize. He should go out of his way to apologize. He should get their phone number, call them, especially after hearing this, because this will make the rounds on the internet. And it's going to hopefully get back to him that, like, hey, Dax the Axe over there was talking some shit about you, saying you were being a douchebag at the thing, the 25, Raw 25. Look, when you are a team like FTR, the Revival, like, they're team players, man. They will help put over anybody. They will take an ass beating. They will take the short end of the stick for the love of wrestling and to better everything, for the betterment of the team. And I think they get taken advantage of because of that. You know, I think the reason why they're not as prominent in AEW right now is because they're so good at playing the role of getting other people over. And nobody's ever really given them a proper run. They had the tag titles, you know, all every place. But they weren't, like, dominant, you know what I mean? And it just gets squashed by DX like that. Like, at the very least, like, go backstage and say, hey, thank you for doing that for us, man. You made us look good out there. We appreciate you. That's all you need to say. Okay, you don't got to buy him a fucking thank you card or a fucking cake or send flowers or anything like that. Just say thanks, bro, for putting us over. That's all you got to do. And Waltman did because he's a fucking decent human being. But we've all heard that Triple H is a douchebag. We've all heard that Shawn Michaels is a douchebag. I don't know. I can't speak for the Outlaws so much. You know, I have had the opportunity to meet them too, and they seemed fine. They weren't being dicks to anybody or anything like that, but, you know, in like a locker room setting or whatever, but there was no, nothing really struck me about them, but we know Triple H and we know Shawn Michaels have a history of being complete and total douchebags. We just thought they were past it. We thought this was something they had moved on from and grown out of, and everybody loves and respects them now. And, you know, it's Uncle Hunter and Uncle Sean and all that shit. But deep down, they're not afraid to just bury you and laugh about it. And that's fucking sad. And hopefully Dax gets his apology and cash, both of them. And hopefully they get a run with the belts again. And that match with the Young Bucks and the fucking Briscoe brothers, god damn it. Jim Cornette gave his 2 cents this week on Corny's Drive-Thru about Cody Rhodes going to WWE and the value that Cody truly holds for WWE outside of being just an in-ring talent. Check out this clip.
I said whether they like Cody, they don't like Cody, or they don't care if Cody drops dead and catches on fire, he knows where, how to get a hold of everybody, what their deals are, when they're up, what their personal picadillos and desires are, how best to entice them to do something, whether it's him doing it or whether it's just him telling somebody else in the WWE that might be closer to these people personally, or that might just contact them out of the blue whenever they are legally available to do that, right? It's knowledge. Also, he's an EVP of this company. He knows a lot of the things that happened. He's obviously either not happy with the way that he was being utilized in terms of his potential booking genius or whatever, or he just, the thing he was hung up on was, I want as much money as CM Punk because I set myself on fire for you.
He's not wrong. Cody has a lot of inside information about the inner workings of AEW. Not just Tony Khan, not just long-term plans, not just company structure, but talent, all the talent. What's the talent up to? What do they want? When's their contract expire? What are they making? Who do they get along with? What are their strengths? What are they looking for? All of these things, Cody has a working inside knowledge, if not hands-on knowledge and experience of. Cody's a valuable asset to WWE. Now, being an executive vice president, I would almost guarantee he had to sign some sort of non-disclosure agreement. I can't imagine that he's allowed to just go out and freely speak of the inner workings of AEW. But he has that knowledge. And he has a lot of phone numbers, I'll bet, in his little Rolodex on his phone there, right? So we could see a Wardlow jump ship. We could see an MJF jump ship. What about guys like Preston Vance, right? That's Cody's butt buddy, right? He's big. That's it. I mean, that's really the only qualification, is it not? Certainly, this is not going to be the only defection from AEW to WWE. We're going to see a lot of this. And over the next couple of years, and Cody could absolutely be someone who helps facilitate those moves. It will be interesting to see. Time's going to tell. But I really, like Corny said, they're buying a lot more than the in-ring talent, man. They're buying the asset of a founding member of AEW. And that is worth every penny that Cody's going to get paid. And that's why he's also going to get the big push. Got to get my push. Sassafras. Speaking of Sean Waltman earlier today, we had Sean Waltman on Fightful with Sean Ross Sapp doing an interview talking all about his career. Lots of 90s stuff going on in the conversation. GCW conversation, X-Pac making a big comeback to wrestling. He's all healed up. He's healthy. He's had surgeries. He's ready to go. And he let WWE know that he was ready to go if they wanted or needed him for the Royal Rumble. And oh boy, did they fucking need him for the Royal Rumble. But did they call him? No. Is it because they don't want to do business with him? I don't know. He's a fucking 2-time Hall of Famer. Check out this clip.
You had mentioned like you would have been in this year's Royal Rumble if asked. Like, did you speak to anybody there, like anybody in WWE, about possibly doing that, or did they reach out?
No. So all I said, and it was probably similar to what I just saw RVD saying. Like, I just told him, hey, I'm going to be ready if you guys want me.
Yeah.
But like, I just told him, look, also, my feelings won't be hurt if you don't. Sure. Like, I'm making a comeback regardless. Like, I mean, I'm happy to do it in the WWE ring, but like,
that Royal Rumble was bullshit. The men's Rumble this year was absolutely, I mean, there's been so many Rumbles. I don't know that I could definitively say that it was the worst Royal Rumble of all time ever. But it's in recent memory, as far as I can remember, it's the worst Royal Rumble ever. There were no big surprises that mattered. I didn't pop for Bad Bunny. That didn't do shit for me, okay? It's just, it was sad. There was so much more they could have done with it. Shane McMahon didn't matter. I don't even remember what the other one. I know there was a third surprise of some sort in there, but overall, man, it was just not like Royal Rumbles have been done so much better in the past. And I know a lot of that magic was from Pat Patterson himself, but God damn it, they didn't drop the ball there. And I apparently the majority of that was Shane McMahon. He was promptly fired, but not because of the bad booking necessarily, but just because he's a douchebag. But why wouldn't you call X-Pac? And call Sean Waltman. Have him come in as the 1-2-3 kid if you want to. That man will get a huge pop. He deserves it. God, does he deserve to go out as a in a WWE ring. Not that that would be his last match, because he feels like he's got a comeback run. So I feel like he would do the GCW stuff anyway and whatever else. But why not put X-Pac in the Royal Rumble? He's a two-time Hall of Famer. He is a giant part of your history. 1-2-3 kid in Razor Ramon will go down as one of the most memorable angles in professional wrestling ever. Top 10? No, but top 25? Top 50? Absolutely. And that's saying a lot for all the angles in the history of professional wrestling period ever. It's in the mix, man. It's in the conversation. And then coming back as the X-Pac with DX after being in the NWO, and now they own the NWO, so really that's WWE history too. This guy is a fucking legend. And not only that, but as we heard earlier in the Dax interview, he said that Waltman was the only one that thanked him for letting them beat the shit out of him. He's a fucking class act all the way. There is not a bad word that can be said about Sean Waltman. Yes, he has a dirty, scummy past. Yes, he was dark and suicidal at times. He was into drugs. He was addicted to drugs, I should say. The China porn tape. Like, X-Pac has his past. But my God, has he turned himself around, gotten himself in such a great place mentally, physically, emotionally. He's humble, he's kind, he's thoughtful, he's generous with his time. He's just a good fucking dude, and he's still funny and has a little bit of an attitude and stuff to go with it. So, man, much love to X-Pac. He needed to be in the Royal Rumble. He wasn't. Hopefully he gets in next year. Just give him that fucking spot, man. Let him go on a massive indie run this year. GCW, wherever else, whoever else wants him. And then cap it off at the Royal Rumble next year. And he can hang up his boots and be like, man, last match in WWE, two-time Hall of Famer, came back for one last run, worked with all the, you know, work with Nick Gage in GCW, work with fucking Cardona or whatever, you know, go on a whole run. But goddamn, you know, such a missed opportunity. Here's what I would have did. Brought X-Pac back in the Royal Rumble. Bring Kane back in the Royal Rumble. Have them clear out the ring. Everybody. And then just the two of them in there. And then they fucking shake hands, or they just nod to each other, or whatever the fuck, acknowledge each other. And then Kane fucking chokeslams X-Pac out of the ring or something. How dope would that have been? Now I'm just fucking armchair booking and I'm rambling on. So on to the next. Speaking of the Royal Rumble, Mickey James was on the Kurt Angle show this week. He interviewed Mickey all about her career, took a walk down memory lane, talked about the Piggy James stuff, talked about the trash bag situation. But what was most anticipated, what I really wanted to know from this interview, was all about the Royal Rumble. Check out this clip.
Yeah, I think it was a lot of shock value on a lot of levels, because as many people who were excited that I was going to be in the Rumble, there were just as many, if not more, people on the other side of it going, there's no way that she's going to be hardcore country. There's no way they're going to let her, they're going to talk about Impact Wrestling. There's no way they're going to refer to her as the Knockouts champion. There's hell no, are they ever going to let her walk out there with the Knockouts world champion? You guys are smoking crack if you actually think that that's ever going to happen, right? Like, there was so much, I was like, wow, hey, like, wow, really? And not them knowing that we had already, and I never once said ahead of time, like, yes, I am absolutely coming out there to my music and with the championship, because I didn't want to look like a liar had something happen ahead of time where a thought or a mind had been changed. So I always said that I intend to, like, my intention is to walk out there as the champion. My intention is to walk out there as hardcore country. But I never said I'm actually, you know, 1000% doing it, because I didn't, you know, what if something went wrong?
Never know.
It all happened. And I knew in my heart. So as people were saying these things, I'm like, well, I know in my heart that Vince has agreed to all of this. So the only way it's not happening is if he changes his mind. Right? Like, that's the only way it's not happening. And so my whole thing was like, please don't let him change his mind.
I think what WWE did for Mickie James for the Royal Rumble was damn near unprecedented and really was a make good to her for the trash bag situation. I think they either felt bad or at the very least they just wanted to make it right for publicity's sake. They wanted to do right by Mickie. I think letting her, she came out to her Impact Wrestling music. She wore the Impact title. She had a good showing in the Rumble. Me personally, I would have liked to see her make it to the final four, then be eliminated, even five. You know, you usually like that final four to be a little bit of a showdown between your top stars. Okay, well, maybe Mickie makes it to number five. She was thrown out a little bit before then, but she was in there for a while. She wasn't just made a joke of, you know. She had a good showing. And just the fact that she got to be TNA Mickie James, or, you know, the Impact Wrestling Mickie James, that was so fucking cool from WWE to do that, because they never do shit like that. And they didn't have to. And even like Mickie said in the interview, like, she half expected them to, you know, she told them, you know, if I come back, I'd like to do it like this. And they told her, no problem. But she half expected them to be like, you know what, we changed our mind. Here's what we're going to do. And you're going to come out to, oh, Mickie, you're so fine and stuff, you know. But she didn't. And it was a good showing for her. And that was fucking dope. You know, in contrast to what we were just talking about with Sean Waltman, the Women's Royal Rumble, I thought, was highly entertaining. I thought it was really good. I thought it had those good star cameos and appearances. And I thought that, it beat the fuck out of the Men's Rumble for sure. The Ronda Rousey, the Lita, like, all that stuff was great. Melina, even at the beginning, like, that was fun stuff. I just think, you know, the Women's Royal Rumble got it right. The Men's Royal Rumble got it wrong. And it was dope seeing Mickie James there. Hey, it's Conrad. Was on Wrestling with Brandon Walker this week. Great show, by the way, if you're not familiar with Brandon Walker's podcast or YouTube show or whatever the fuck you want to call it. I think it's a podcast, right? Podcast. Wrestling. Highly entertaining. Brandon Walker, great interviewer. Funny as fuck himself. Very entertaining. But he had Conrad Thompson on the podcast this week. And Conrad was talking all about his podcasts, all the way up from the story, you know, working with Ric Flair, to the story with talking with Bruce about the Radicals, and just how it all snowballed to now he's at the point where he's got six different podcasts. He even dropped a little bit of knowledge that he's got at least one more in the works. He said expect an announcement around WrestleMania. So looking forward to that one too. Who knows what he could have up his sleeve? There's only so many days in the week though, Conrad. So, you know, keep that in mind. But during the interview, he was asked basically who's more boring, Eric Bischoff or Jeff Jarrett. Calls out Conrad about Conrad kind of wandering off and not paying attention. And Conrad fully admits that they tend to ramble on just a little bit too much, kind of like I'm doing now. Check out this clip.
Have you ever had time to read War and Peace during one of Eric Bischoff's answers?
No, but I've thought about it. I've also started looking around for distractions. It's him and Jeff Jarrett. It's like they compete every week. Who can have the longest answer? We might actually start running a timer on that. Just see who wins.
My favorite thing that you do is, and it doesn't happen all the time. In fact, I heard it last on a Bruce podcast, but you clearly will just, you'll zone out sometimes. All right. You'll zone out. And as soon as they get through talking, you'll go like, uh-huh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And then you'll just move into another question.
Well, yeah, man, I can only listen to that same question for so long, especially on an Eric Bischoff one where I'm like, hey man, what time is it? And then he tells me how to create a freaking watch, not wine to watch, but just, I mean, from scratch.
I gotta tell you, man, Eric, I used to like Eric. I think his little beef that he was picking with Tony Khan for no reason kind of turned me off a little bit, because it kind of seemed like he was taking shots, just take shots. It wasn't constructive criticism, you know, he was taking shots. Yeah, maybe it started constructive, but then he likes to poke the bear and stuff. But overall, I got a general respect for Eric, and he does drop a lot of information, and I do like the business aspect of wrestling, which is, you know, the highlight of his show. That's his niche, right? That's what he's good at. But goddamn, does he drone on and on and on. And dude, doing this show, because I get the clips, right? I get the clips from the show. You know, here's a highlight from the show, the gist of what we're going to talk about here, this little snipperoo. Bischoff never shuts up or takes a breath to where I can even get a clip in. He's so hard to clip out because even if he takes pauses, he'll go down this weird sidebar path, and it's just like such a long story to tell just to get to the point, and I can't just do all that in a clip, man. You know? We got short attention spans nowadays. You gotta speak in sound bites, as JR would say, right? But I like Eric still, kind of. Jarrett, though, on the other hand, is unbearable. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I have now officially enacted an anti-Jeff Jarrett rule here on the podcast. We are banning My World with Jeff Jarrett. That's right, I'm banning it. Why? Because I don't want to listen to Jeff Jarrett talk. That's why. Fuck Jeff Jarrett. He rubs me the wrong way. And remember that shit where he yelled at Conrad about the guy that was doing the research or whatever? And Jarrett just went off about, he's such a dick. He's a douchebag. Like, I don't get, and he's got that southern drawl. And of course, he doesn't sound, that was more like his dad, actually, to be honest. But I know there's Jeff Jarrett fans out there. I get it. I understand. And I know I sound like I'm being a hater right now. I just can't stand him. I'll monitor it because it's my job to report to you guys, right? I'm a journalist. I work for you guys. I'm not here to just play favorites. I know that. So I'll monitor it. If anything interesting comes up, then, you know, maybe we'll talk about it here. But certainly not going to get shit out of TNA Turning Point fucking 2003. You know what I mean? Like, no one cares. So we'll monitor it. But I would say as of for now, I have a no Jeff Jarrett. Now, if he does something juicy, like goes off on Conrad on a big fucking dickheaded rant again, I'll probably cover it. So I guess never say never, but I wouldn't expect to hear a lot of Jeff Jarrett. And I tried, man. If you go back and listen to previous episodes, you would have heard me cover Jeff Jarrett quite a bit. He was on almost every episode for a little bit. You know, I covered his early, his first few episodes, you know, when he first started, I was on it. And you know, I gave him credit. I said I was surprised, you know, pleasantly surprised, learning a lot, liked some of the things he was talking about, liked the way he was approaching things. But there's just something about Jeff that rubs me the wrong way. He's always got these just little comments, and he's always just, and it's hard to explain. I couldn't tell you exactly what the comments are, but you just, I don't know. Some of you feel the same way I do about Jeff Jarrett, so I don't even got to explain it. You just know. You're like, yep, I'm right there with you. For the others, I apologize, but until further notice, fuck Jeff Jarrett. The Swiss Cyborg. Cesaro. Antonio Cesaro, if you're nasty. Has officially parted ways with the WWE after fucking years. What was it? 8? 10? 11? A long time he's been with the WWE. I guess we gotta refer to him now as Claudio Castagnoli. Is that it? Castagnoli? Or is it Castagnoli with no G? No G. Castagnoli, now a free agent out there on the wrestling market. And of course, we all know what that means. Claudio Castagnoli to AEW confirmed. Thanks, Wrestle Talk. No. I don't know that that'll happen. Probably will. I mean, I imagine at some point, I'm sure. Maybe he'll, I mean, fuck, he would be a fantastic fit in New Japan. Oh, man, could you see him going over there and just, he'd just go over there and just brutalize people. It'd be fun to see him pop back up in Ring of Honor, too. Maybe he's done with wrestling. Maybe he just wants to quit altogether. But if he wants to continue, he's got lots of options. You know, AEW can't sign the whole world. We've talked about that before on the show. But it'd be interesting to see where he goes, where he ends up, the things he can do. I'd like to see him work around the circle a little bit. When you get a guy like that released from a big company like WWE, it's like the world is open to that, man. At that point, he's got endless options, and you got all these dream matches you want to see him working. It's just going to be fantastic to watch. Really interested to see where he goes, how it turns out, who he works with. What do you think the big announcement from Tony Khan is? That's going to be interesting, too. I don't think it's a wrestler this time. Sounds like it's going to be, I think it's going to be Ring of Honor. And that's what I was kind of thinking with Cesaro, like maybe go back to Ring of Honor. But that's what kind of got me thinking about this little mystery secret that Tony Khan's going to be coming out with. It's going to be. I think he bought Ring of Honor. I think he's buying Ring of Honor or the Ring of Honor library. I think we're going to see some big shit happening here. He's making a big move. He's hyping this up as one of the biggest things in wrestling ever. So it's not just going to be Christian Cage again, you know. It's not going to be Christian Cage has renewed his contract. What if that's what it was? What if it was Christian Cage has renewed his contract? Yes! Christian's great. He's just not just the way he was overhyped. Ah. Anyway, we're way off topic here. Cesaro, gone from WWE. Why did he leave WWE, do you think? What do you think we're going to end up hearing? I haven't heard personally or read anything about why. I don't know if you have, where that might have come from. If he's just fed up with creative, he's not going anywhere, he's not doing anything anymore. If he thought he was worth more money than he was being offered, or he's lowballed. At the end of the day, if it was a good move for him and he's happy with the decision that he made to leave the WWE, the world's available to him, man. He can end up anywhere, anytime, and make any kind of money and decisions that he wants to make. So life is good for Cesaro, I would imagine. Claudio Castagnoli. I gotta tell you guys, like we were talking about earlier with Eric Bischoff and even more, Jeff Jarrett. There's some guys that just rub you the wrong way, you know? And I probably rub some of you the wrong way. So, I mean, it goes both ways. But for me personally, one of those people is Mojo Rawley. So when I saw Mojo Rawley, like, I don't want to get hyped. I don't want to stay hyped. I don't want none of what you're bringing. You're too much. It's not even that. There's not anything wrong with the man. He's just so much. He's overbearing. He's... bleh. You know what I mean? He's a little bit too hyped for my taste, I think, is what I'm getting at here. So when I saw him pop up in my podcast feed on Renee Paquette's podcast, Oral Sessions, which we are double dipping into, but hey, she had two good interviews, so let's talk about two good interviews. On this one, she had Mojo Rawley, and I wanted to skip it because it's Mojo fucking Rawley. Especially when it started, dude, he came in hot. Like, he was just like, right off the bat, he was just, 11. And it was like too much to listen to for an hour of just screaming like that. But I gave it a chance because I'm a professional. I'm a journalist. I'm a podcast journalist here for you guys. And so I toughed it out. I bared through it. And I was pretty impressed. Actually, he told a good story, and it turned out I actually ended up liking him quite a bit. But this clip in particular, I thought was pretty amusing. I wanted to share it with you guys, where the first appearance at WrestleMania of Gronk, when he was going to jump the rail, but he couldn't jump the rail quite yet because of security. Check out this clip.
Okay, so you mentioned having some of your football friends at events. Of course, that leads me into Gronkowski. I hadn't even thought about this really until you just said that. I was like, oh my God, that moment at WrestleMania when Gronk jumped the barricade and Lisa, our security guard, thought he was just a fan jumping the guardrail. What happened there from his point of view through you?
Somehow, no one buzzed security, so... we get to the spot and I'm laying on the ground selling, and Rob steps over and Lisa comes charging up, and you know, Lisa,
she got his ass,
jacked his ass up. And I know Rob. So I saw Rob's face when it happened and I was like, he has no idea what to do right now. That is his legitimate confused shock face, not trying to sell. Like, he is kind of panicking right now because he can't pivot like we're trained to pivot. So yeah. I'm on the ground covering my face, selling like, hey, part of the show, let him go, part of the show.
That's the funniest fucking thing ever, dude. Dude's supposed to jump the rail. He's part of the show. Security's not smartened up to it, and they're trying to hold him back. They don't even know who he is. They don't know that this is Gronk. If I'm security guard and Gronk's in the front row, imagine like Shaq's in the front row of a wrestling show, and he just wants to step over. You're not going to stop him. So clearly, like, if she knew he was Gronk, the Gronkowski, she would have let him through, but she thought he was just a fanboy going to jump the rail and attack Seth Rollins. Gronk's over, Mojo's over there screaming, he's part of the show. That's so funny. Like, those kind of things that happen in wrestling are great. And that's what makes wrestlers professional too. Like Mojo, like he said in the interview, like Gronk's doesn't know how to roll with those kind of punches. Like, he was kind of a deer in the headlights in that situation. What do I do? How do I do this? Like, wrestlers are very capable of ad-libbing and being able to kind of adjust on the fly in situations like that. They made it work. It was a good segment, but funny as fuck that happened. And I'm sure there's lots of other incidents of things like that happening, or even on the reverse, like that douchebag who attacked Seth Rollins. Like, security maybe thought he was part of the show because he was kind of running down the aisle. It's always interesting when you hear these kind of stories. So I just wanted to share it with you and point you in the direction of that interview. If you're like me and you think Mojo's a bit much, he's a bit extra, as they say, give it a chance, because he comes in really extra, but he kind of tones it down and settles in a little bit. You get to hear the real person kind of come out of it. You know, the hype train slows down. Not that he, I mean, he still stays hype. Don't get me wrong. He's Mojo. He stays hype. But he's a little less hype. Thank you so much for checking out the show, for sticking all the way through to the end. I want you to go ahead and give me a like. Give me a follow if you could. I'm going to be at Seth Grimes Media. That's on Twitter. That's on Facebook. That's on TikTok. That's on Rumble. And on YouTube, it's at United Underworld Media or / United Underworld Media. You can check out our NFTs, our pro wrestling themed NFTs. If you're into crypto and you're into NFTs, most people hate NFTs. Couple of you might like them. We have pro wrestling inspired NFTs. You can check those out on OpenSea.io right now under Cryptomania NFT. Cryptomania, like Hulkamania, NFT, all one word. You'll see our wrestling inspired NFTs. Go ahead and give them a check out there. I got a book out. It's on Amazon, Audible, and Kindle. The Gathering, A Bold Journey into the Belly of the Juggalo Underworld. Go ahead and check that out. All kinds of shit going on. Updating the YouTube page. I have gone ahead and moved this podcast over to my main Seth Grimes YouTube page. I did have a separate page set up for this podcast and other wrestling-related stuff under the WrestleMedia banner. But I decided to move it under Seth Grimes for a couple reasons. One would be there are a couple other WrestleMedias out there, and I could change the name to something else more snazzy or just make it the Pro Wrestling Podcast page in general. But honestly, like, I do other stuff, right? I got another podcast as well. It's called Live to Tape. It's kind of my audio journal. I just kind of talk about life stuff there. Just kind of open up and just kind of share with friends. It's a more laid back setting. But if I'm promoting things, all of this kind of stuff, I might as well keep it all under one banner. So I have moved the podcast on YouTube is now going to be on my official Seth Grimes page. That's United Underworld Media, YouTube/United Underworld Media. I'll probably be transferring the WrestleMedia old back catalog slowly but surely over to my Seth Grimes YouTube, and then I will probably take that other one down. So if you're listening and you're subscribed to that one and you're following that for videos, hop on over to Seth Grimes. That's where I'll also have my reviews. But I do a lot of other shit. You know, I review movies and stuff too. Got another podcast. Lots of fun stuff over there. It's my one-stop shop. Check it out. That's all I got for you guys. I love you. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for your support. Peace, love, and pizza. This has been the Pro Wrestling Podcast. It hurt my throat a little bit. It's all scratchy. Yeah.